Welcome back to The Whip Around, your weekly look at news and current events, where nothing is safe and nothing is sacred. Be warned, there will be pop culture spoilers, low culture language, and potentially some cultural insensitivities. With your hosts, Jill Yapsuga.
Having my moment with my mac and cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing and I feel fabulous, so do it.
Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh!
And Sean Hayes.
I'm participating in the currency exchange of your attention for my
right,
compliment.
As opposed
to... I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
Have too much fun with the whip around.
Welcome to the Whip Around Synergy Edition! Synergy! Synergy! I'm going to do it until you crack.
I can't not think of Jem when you say
you
that.
You should! So. You absolutely should. Who was the other group?
I don't know.
The Vandals or something?
I had the doll and that was all I needed.
Well.
That's awesome.
Well, speaking of dolls. Steve Bost is here with us, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Bost is here, as we have been hyping, as we have been talking about. This is a difficult rundown to do because Steve Bost wears many, many hats. There was one just before we started the show that I omitted. There was a whole show that you do that. But let me try to see if I can encompass these. We've got Trivia Master, first of all. Of, what is it, three separate trivias
three
now,
regular ones, yeah.
Which, that's just, it's like, I knew you when. It was just a sapling of an idea, and now there is a cider bar. Full circle! I just thought of that. Anyway, comic, stand-up comic, a playwright, a firm hugger. No, there's the movie thing you do that we talked about, where you and Ryan Hill basically mock bad movies.
That's right.
It's a bust a movie.
Correct.
Am I correct? At the that's the Steel Stacks.
Correct.
Over there.
Mm-hmm.
You're a server at the Brew Works, where anytime I'm there, I'm asking for your section because that's a mighty fine service. And am I missing anything? How many things am I missing? Auteur. Collector of
Hummel.
Hummel Halloween
figures.
What am I missing, Steve? Seriously, a man about town. Yeah. I keep saying that because it is a very true thing.
I find myself being asked to MC the occasional odd thing, like a high school jazz band competition several weeks.
Is that an exaggeration?
That is not an exaggeration. It is quite literally just bringing on stage excellent jazz high schoolers.
Wasting their time.
Someone felt that like I would really bring some charisma.
You were a highlight there?
To that.
Wasting their time with jazz. Wasting their time.
I don't understand this war on jazz that you have. Really,
I can't help. It's for real, man. I've gotten this show does not get a lot of complaints or like confrontational comments. That draws them, and I'm not backing down. But that's so okay. What else have we missed, Steve?
You covered the major categories, even the ones that are kind of dormant, like playwriting.
Oh, but it never leaves the blood, Steve.
I hope you're right.
It never leaves the blood.
You covered the major areas.
Well, which leads me to the first question I wanted to ask.
Yes.
Which of those is sort of would come first? Mm. I know a lot of times it's like, you know, this person is a comedian who writes, or this person is a teacher who murders. Like, what is your this? I'm a this who this is.
Right. You want the practical answer or you want the like blue sky dreaming answer?
I want the blue sky clouds drifting.
Oh.
Jill, am I off base on that? Don't you
want
the dream?
I want what comes instinctively to you when you're asked, what do you do, Steve?
I say I'm a comedian.
There you go.
And then if they get to know me in the course of the night.
If they're fortunate.
When I start to get to the low end, you know, when I'm testing the low voice. Then it's hey, did you know that I write plays sometimes? I'm a produced playwright. So I guess in that order, comedian with aspirations of being Tom Stoppard.
With a Stoppardian twist.
Yes. When in reality, I think I'm probably more like a Chuck Woolery who occasionally steps into Michael Richards territory. That's a terrible name, but...
And
What territory are you referring to?
Are we talking about where I think we're talking about? Because that is not what I have heard.
No, that's not my style at all.
Okay, good.
Why that's the first comedian who came into my mind, I don't know.
I think there's something about this basement that just brings out like just the deep dig of what could be sifted until I find something weird.
Maybe it's the research that I've been doing the last 36 hours.
You know what?
Yes. Has my mind going to...
That definitely makes sense.
Not to tip our hands too far here, but yeah, that is... Which is fine. Yeah. I'm not trying to berate you. But which is interesting. Yeah, we're going to be digging into some of those issues today. But I can confirm, and I'm sure Jill will back me up on this, when you hear about comedic drama, when you hear about controversy, when you hear about flare-ups, Steve Bost, not in that kind of category. I'll end up repeating this, I bet. But as we cover what we're going to cover in our deep dive, which deals with some controversy, I was thinking about this. And I feel I've given Steve opportunities. I have never seen you upset. I have never seen Steve Bost lose his cool, was the way I was thinking about this. It's interesting with how many hats you wear and do whatever, that there is no...
Right.
I've never seen you, like, I've never seen you stomp your foot. I've never seen you cry out... Off, you know, unless it was in a script or something.
And it would probably take me some time to come up with one, too.
You just reach for your drink, so I'm guessing you know where to find the inspiration.
But if you were to say later on, like, all right, top of your head, last time you flipped out, I'd say, like, turn it off and give me 20 minutes to think about it. So,
okay. Wow, 20 minutes. I don't even need 20 seconds to think about that for myself.
I can think of the last episode of The Whip Around on which I had a tantrum. Can I give you, Jill, this is, I don't know if you know this one, and Steve, if you want to... shut it down or throw anything in, I'll try to tell a short version. Steve's one of the people that I know, one of the only, I could count him on one hand, who has absorbed in one instance multiple blows to the head, to the face region, and he did not give up his attitude. He did not lose his cool. In a bar, Steve was struck.
You know it.
Twice.
You know five people who have been severely beaten about
the face?
Well,
I didn't say he was severely beaten, but I know a couple people who have been, you know, slapped or whatever. But Steve's probably at the top for having been closed fist punched in the face by a malcontent, right?
Yeah.
Now, are you comfortable sharing that anecdote,
Steve?
Yeah, I am.
Steve? I'm fine with that.
I need to set
who
the base.
Who hurt you?
Show us on your face. I need to set the baseline as we move through the episode, though, that Steve Bost is... He is at Tommy Lee Jones levels of Freon in his veins, as far as anger. I mean, the man feels. But if you prick him, I don't know what happens. I don't know.
Impressive.
So, Steve...
But what happened?
Yeah.
Now I'm curious.
Yeah, I wish that I could say this was, you know... protesting the WTO on the streets or something. It was nothing like that. It was in a bar. There was a guy, some rando who came in who was clearly spoiling for a fight with somebody. So he threw his weight around until I actually had to be duty bound to say, oh, you're making the women here uncomfortable. So I had to sort of step in and say, no, really, I'm going to need my seat back. He said, do you want to step outside? Huge grin on his face. Like, yes, you stepped right into my parlor. Right. I said, no, I don't. So he took his opportunity right there.
Wow.
And took a jab, which sent me back a few feet.
Now, Steve was with beverage at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He was holding a full beverage.
Wow.
Just so we're clear.
Right.
There was a beverage involved.
Okay.
Went back a couple feet. I was still on my feet, though, so he gave me one more, which sent me... There was a couch right behind me there, fortunately. It was...
Well, that's convenient.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, this could have been choreographed this way.
When being assaulted, make it in a lounge.
Right.
Yeah. But I think what you're getting at, and when I've told this story, I've always mentioned, I didn't spill a drop.
See?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Priorities.
I didn't flat...
That's very impressive.
Yeah. That guy didn't end up, you know... I didn't land a blow on him or anything.
Well, I believe he was then removed. It wasn't.
That's good because, in a way, then you don't have to deal with any, like, if you don't hit back to a certain point, especially when there's bouncers there or something, where you could just be like, then when it's done, you're like, I could just now deal with people coming up to me and worrying about me, fawning over me the rest of the evening, and I don't have to worry about, like, oh, now I have to, like, explain myself, well, he started it, and blah, blah, blah.
Now, as far as I am concerned, number one, it's sort of like Hearts.
I'm sorry, were you there?
No.
Okay.
But what I'm saying, in my opinion, like the game of Hearts, all the aggression was on the other person's part, all of it. Steve did not. He wins. He shot the moon in that scenario and got all the points, if you ask me.
I didn't have to see the Gandhi, the Gandhi ground.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
Gandhi shot the moon.
Yeah, no,
potential episode title. It's early.
Here's a question, though, for you. Did you get, like, did the night end well for you, though, after that fight?
If I see what you're getting at.
Do you know what I mean? You had a lot of women helping you out after. Fine.
Females, you mean? Any
women.
Any there females was, want to interact?
There was sympathy. It didn't go. It didn't go that far. It didn't, it didn't get to the moon.
Oh, all right.
But, you know,
sometimes it happens.
Trivia is at or near 10 years old now. Is that correct? The Steel Trap trivia.
Yes.
The initial shoot. Is it? Was there a 10-year thing?
No, it's this fall.
Ooh.
Because I have to go to that. Yeah. I myself was a member of a ragtag group of trivia players.
I think it's fair to say I cut my teeth on your team.
Yeah.
Because you fielded such a depth of knowledge that I knew that if I could challenge you, I could challenge anybody.
And complaints.
And that's, well,
we were a grumbly group.
That's all right. You were the most loyal, so, you know, you counted for 1.2 voices each of you.
There you go.
Or something.
But we were the people by the mural. We were the mural team. We had that was where I met Phil. I met Phil and Caroline. We had a scientist. We had like a lit nerd. We had movie buffs. It was a powerhouse of a team.
Mm-hmm.
Jill is not impressed. However,
I'm just thinking when I used to do trivia, our team was one of those teams that always had I think we always had, like, a sexual name for our team. We were always perverts.
Ours were
just a group
ranged of
weirds.
I think one of my all-time favorites was an early one. It was Too Hot for Frosty and the Bathtub Nog was one of them.
Those are great band names.
Exactly.
Blumpkin would creep in from time to time.
Yeah. There was one with some of them were very esoteric, unassisted longbow suicide, just to make people... Just some head scratchers. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious what it feels like, number one, to have this thing have been your baby.
Mm.
And it's been 10 years. And my understanding is that it continues to go very strong. It's continuing to flourish.
Yeah.
It must. There are multiple venues now. What's the feeling, man? 10 years of this thing.
First of all, it only feels like 5 or 6 years. But then everyone says that about everything. You know, your child. Oh, I can't believe you're 10 already.
I like your phantom parent is a New Yorker. Can't believe you're telling it. Hey, bada bing, bada boom.
Get a job.
Get out of here.
I've enjoyed. I like to think that I've asked people trivia questions that they never imagined they would get. Even the structure, you know, they go in thinking it's going to be Seen It or Trivial Pursuit, and instead, I'm forcing them to remember everything that they thought and felt about, I don't know, Guardians of the Galaxy or Edgar Allan Poe.
Do you have a favorite theme? Because some of those nights are themed nights. Do you have one where, like, you know what? That one worked really well. We were especially proud of that. People would not have even expected maybe that's a theme that we could do.
Yes. Well, several years ago, I realized because I also have the connection to the Steel Stacks, and there are musicians and comedians and famous people coming through, that I could get access to some of them. Mm-hmm. And if they're cool with it, and they have been, they'll record trivia questions for me. So I can shut up and I can say, here is the drummer from the Wailers. Or Colin Quinn, or Ophira Eisenberg from NPR.
Did you get Colin Quinn to do a question?
Yes, I did.
That's great.
Four questions.
What?
He just rattled them off. Mark Maron did.
Very awesome, but I'm still hung up on the Colin Quinn.
Are you?
Thing.
Well,
that has particular social cachet for me.
Oh, good.
What was he at? Was it random trivia stuff, or was this when he was doing a tour with a particular show?
I chose. Let's see. There was a question about Seamus Heaney. Because he's another Irishman.
Yeah, true.
And I think at the time
he's a well-read guy, too. I mean, Colin Quinn, actually. Yeah. People tend to think because of his exterior and the voice. But he's a well-read. I would expect he's probably aware of multiple Seamus Heaney translations of classical texts, etc.
I got hung up on that because he said, you know, which translation are you talking about right here?
See? Not only is Colin Quinn cultured, but I'm cultured because I know Colin Quinn is cultured. That's a daisy chain of intelligence right there.
His diction, not great. He kind of stumbled over them. I did Parks and Recreation a couple months ago, and through the magic of Twitter, which finally pulled its weight after years of sitting there silently on the side of the road.
Being a nightmare, yes.
I got a couple of cast members to record questions long distance that I played at that night. And I know that no other trivia
that is
was,
impressive.
Was
really
reaching
cool.
for that.
That is impressive.
Thank you.
Look at the effort that he puts into this for all of you trivia goers. It's pretty awesome.
Do you want to produce our podcast, Steve? Of course. Let me remind everybody, we'll be doing this several times during the episode, but we will be on the show is on, you'll see us. We're there. Jill's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Phil's going to be there at Steel Trap Trivia. When you hear this, assuming that you're one of those whip around super fans, it's tonight. If you're hearing it much later than Wednesday the 2nd, it happened and it's already legend. Hmm. But yeah, look for us there. We're very excited.
Which is a good point. All this time I've been talking about my baby, I have a co-host every week. I don't do this by myself. That the sort of the magic of it is having somebody else sitting next to me to banter back and forth a little bit. And it's
am I doing that this time?
As much as you want.
This is the very first time I've gone so many times. Let us end the act with this, Steve.
Sure.
Can we agree to, because we mentioned this when Dave hacked into trivia, we made our little announcement that if people listen to our show, they will have a leg up on a question at trivia.
Precisely.
So can we mention this a little bit? Are we feeling comfortable about what we want to talk about to bring up something that was on your mind?
Mm-hmm.
So we can maybe spin something out that we were just talking about off mic so that we can listen in, because it'll probably make its way into a question.
I'm nodding. You all can't see. I'm nodding, yes.
I liked what you were bringing up. Can we go back there for a moment? Can we time travel back?
Please.
Because we're going to be talking about comedians, and you brought up a little scandal from years past with a Daily Show correspondent, mm-hmm. Yes?
Yeah, this was pretty cool in that it was I'm sure he didn't go into it. Asif Manvi was the correspondent. He didn't go into it expecting that this would that he would draw out from this guy such honesty.
Yeah.
But he did. He was it's an amazing moment. Asif Manvi was interviewing Don Yelton. I think he was a GOP chairman, whatever that means, within the state of
precinct chair,
a PC, the old
Fur
PC
county, yeah.
In one of the Carolinas. I want to say North Carolina.
I mean, mm-hmm. That's the default if we're going scary news, right?
Right. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And it was just.
So he's being interviewed in one of those mock interviews. Well, it's like quasi mock. They're asking real questions. It's not.
I always wonder how they get guys yeah. and girls to sit down, you know, unless they're totally prepared. Like, well, I'm gonna take this Daily Show correspondent and I'm gonna use judo.
Right.
And now this guy sat down and he drew out of.
Surely
him.
They won't ask me anything I would have to answer.
Maybe they ply them with. I don't know, wine and...
I don't know. Or maybe they come in acting like, oh, we don't even know I don't know if the camera's on or not, maybe, while they're having a...
I think it's just ego. People think I'm going to be the one.
I guess.
This is gonna portray me in a positive light.
These dopes don't know
like,
how
to... I'm going to be the one.
Yeah.
But in the course of the segment, he drew out of Don Yelton, PC, ironically, some racist sound bites. And Don Yelton's career, I assume, maybe he... showed up again in Mississippi or Alabama later on, but he had to step down.
And as we talked about this, Jill, with frightening speed, found something, a bit of a resource.
Pearls.
For some of these pearls, yes? Can we get some of the top three? And again, listeners, right. Citizens, the point here is that it didn't take us long when discussing comedy to run up against its power, in a sense, some unexpected ways that comedy can be particularly powerful,
yes.
And this one was just, it helps you step in shit if you're an imbecile.
Found comedy, as long as you, right. as long as you don't mind being in sensitive waters with sensitive words.
Yeah.
So again, according to Don Yelton.
Yes. No edit here.
No. According to Don Yelton, matter of fact, one of my best friends is black, which, that's a tried and true
Blow
statement.
Blow the dust off that one.
That's right.
As well, according to Don Yelton, when I was a young man, you didn't call a black a black. You called him a Negro. This was back when...
Could have stopped at the beginning of that clause.
Put the dust back on that
right.
one.
You know, that would have been bad enough if you didn't call a black a black.
Right.
Right.
A black. Yeah.
Right. And, again, according
to pick.
Don Yelton...
I think this is my favorite one.
Worst pick.
I had a picture one time of Obama sitting on a stump as a witch doctor, and I posted that on Facebook. I was making fun of the white half of Obama, not the black half.
So stop that outrage machine.
Two different halves. There's two different people living
there. You know,
there.
The witch doctor half.
The white half who loves novelty early 1960s songs.
Yeah. Right?
Like so, whites do.
And I, besides the fact that that will help our listeners who are also trivia fans, I think that sets us up well for our deep dive when we talk about the impact of comedy when we look at the scandal du jour of some comedy. But we'll see. We'll see. We will now take a break. When we return, we've got a deep dive about some current events. And yes, we're going to take it in some funny directions. Ha ha! So we'll come back soon with Steve Bost, man of many hats. Don't go far. I'll miss you if you miss me. Do we have an agreement? Okay, I'll miss you. Bye.
Hey, everybody. This is Dave. Do us a solid and go to iTunes and rate The Whip Around with 5 stars. All 5. Don't forget any of them. 1, 2, 3, 4. And the 5th one is the most important. So please go to iTunes and rate The Whip Around podcast. It'll really help us out. Bye.
Jill says start, I'm going to start. And that's my philosophy. Probably my next tattoo. Probably my next 6. So we're back on the whip around, and that's just how it's going to be. Right, Jill?
Correct.
That's right. Right, Steve? No, this is a Jill thing. Okay? We're back here with Steve Bost, man of many hats and talents and no tats. So, Steve.
I'm getting to heaven.
You thought. I'm not. You were telling us you forgot a hat.
I did forget a hat. It's very fresh.
Or rather, you forgot and then remembered
mm-hmm.
a fresh hat.
A front.
What hat is that? Oh, God, we're seusing. Help us.
I will be putting my bachelor's in theater arts to the test in a way I never thought that I would.
Okay.
As a St. Luke's employee called a standardized patient. And I thought this was only on sitcoms, but no. I will be simulating illnesses and injuries and diseases for nursing students to diagnose. I will be briefed on the whole thing, history. I'll have to bring a persona into the medical theater or whatever.
Oh, my God. I hope you get a construction worker who winds up with bubonic plague. Like, you gotta, like, go in and be like, everything's melting.
You're a racist cyclist with fungus in the foot.
Your marriage is crumbling, and you just discovered you have pink eye. Go.
They attend seminars, like how to portray a schizophrenic. I'm not there yet, but...
So this is a path that you have potentially started down.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
amazing. If you'll have me back at some point, I'll let you know.
Oh, my gosh. I so want an update.
Absolutely.
I so want an update.
All right. I was going to say, this is sort of a sealed envelope type scenario, handcuffed briefcase. You don't know what your ailment or injury or both happen to be until it's... Showtime.
Well, you get a briefing. I don't think they send you in with moments. It's not like sides, you know, like go in there and
it's
remember,
not a cold reading.
Remember the director.
Or flu reading, Jill.
Boom. That's great.
I'd like to take this moment to apologize to all of our listeners. I'm very sorry. That was terrible. But, well, I'm excited about that. So that's an additional hat.
Yeah.
Alas, when we get to hang out with you tonight... For the listeners,
mm-hmm.
we will yet to find out that information. However, let me remind everybody that Jill, myself, and the good Dr. Phil, but not Dave. Not Dave.
I was very specific about that point.
No, Dave, he can't do it. It's a longer trip for him, and it would be a pain in the ass to pipe Dave in over the phone there like it does here. Anyway, most of the whip around will be at trivia. It's going to be a great time. I'm from a different era, Steve. The starting time, I think, is a little different from when I was used to going there. Yeah. What time should they get there?
They should get there between 7 and 7:15.
With a start at 7:30?
Well, we registered at 7:30 and we started at 8.
My goodness.
Yeah, you was 9 in your day.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
We were all so much younger.
Yeah.
Such a better time now.
And I will admit fully, like, there were some nights where I was like, I went to trivia. Like, it was in, you know, you get a good drink going there. You have a nice time. Maybe you keep some of that. Maybe it's all gone. Is the last question still a wager?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. So anyway, we'll be helping out with that. I'd like to throw out an idea, by the way. Phil and I were talking about this. Jill, how would you feel? And Steve, how would you feel if we have something where we did have like a mock? We have a team. We cannot win.
Mm-hmm.
The whip around is not up for prizes. I'm up there hosting anyway.
You're welcome, everyone.
But how about this? Just as a side thing, just for bragging rights. Let's play, like, beat the whip around during trivia. So just, it doesn't matter. Play the game like normal. Any team that beats our team's score, we'll give a little shout out on the show, sort of a, yes, you are smarter than the whip around. Here are the following. If they only want to give a team name, we'll just say it was that team name. If they want to give specific names, here are the list of people smarter than us. And we will give them a shout out on the show for slaying us at trivia.
This would be minus the questions that you yourselves are posing to the group, right?
Right. We would not be participating in that. That's okay. Correct. And if I've got a good sense of this trivia night, if we're playing to have fun, well, if they are playing to have fun, we're unlikely to score really big. But we definitely won't be having the points from the question that we teased here on the Whip Around.
That's fine.
So they've got a serious handicap. And again, we will collect no – if the Whip Around happens to win, we don't win. Mm. Right? Like, we're not in the running. It's just if you can beat our score, you get a shout out on the show. If we win – we'll laugh like maniacs, and of course, we're not in the running for any prizes. It doesn't count toward anything.
Magnanimously kick that to second place.
Well, you can kick it to kick it out the universe. We're not in the running. It's just if you can beat our score. Is that fun? Is that fair?
That
like,
is...
we'll give a shout out. All the worst that can happen is that nobody gets a shout out on the show. Hmm. But I think people will probably beat our score, so they'll get a shout out on the Whip Around. What
get
do you think?
Get ready to say my couch pulls out, but I don't.
Yep.
Because there's always a team called that.
All right. Not quite ready, but I'll get
that
there.
That was one of our names.
All right. There it is. See? Jill's like, oh, yeah. Classic. Old one. Been there. Done that.
Bunch of pervs.
But I accept.
Okay.
And I concur.
Well, no. I want you to accept.
I don't accept, but I got to
sign
go
here.
All right. Acceptance.
The brain. What is it? Where is it? Why does it say so many terrible things when it's dark? Who knows? But today, I want us to pull up a chair and really think about our minds. Jill, think about your mind. Steve,
like
think about your mind and other Total Recall moments that we're having on the show. And of course, no trip to the mind, no vision quest is really complete without a stop at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Am I right? Yes.
Right.
Spoiler, I am right. The annual award ceremony and political journalistic friendship fest that's not at all forced and fake did happen this past Saturday night, right? It was Saturday. I've been keeping up with this and reviewing it so often you start to lose track. The scandal, quote unquote, began, I guess, Saturday night and into Sunday and even today into Monday. Rising comic star, former Daily Show correspondent, comedy special having name growing, sparkling in the firmament. Michelle Wolf was the, I don't know what you would call that, the capstone, the central speaker, the monologuer, whatever.
Yeah, she's
the
like
roaster.
The MC.
No.
I think roaster is
she's sort of the roaster ringer. Came on in, did the finale, and I think at least at this point, everybody in the room, I would hope, would agree that she delivered cutting material. However else we would describe it, characterize it, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who was like, that was not particularly incisive material. It was pretty banal. I don't think so. I don't think that's how anybody would read that. So it was, I think roughly 20 minutes total, somewhere below 20 minutes. Yeah. She dished out cracks on Democrats, Republicans, Roy Moore, sexual abuse allegations of the president, the press, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders was in there somewhere. Let us hear, if we will indulge me, just a little bit of Michelle Wolf at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Good evening. Good evening. Here we are, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Like a porn star says when she's about to have sex with a Trump, let's get this over with. And I know as much as some of you might want me to, it's 2018 and I'm a woman, so you cannot shut me up. Unless you have Michael Cohen wire me $130,000. Michael, you can find me on Venmo under my porn star name, Reince Priebus. Of course, Trump isn't here, if you haven't noticed. He's not here. And I know I would drag him here myself, but it turns out the President of the United States is the one that you're not allowed to grab. We're going to try a fun new thing, okay? I'm going to say Trump is so broke, and you guys go, how broke is he? All right? Trump is so broke.
How broke is he?
He has to fly failed business class. A lot of people want Trump to be impeached. I do not. Because just when you think Trump is awful, you remember Mike Pence. happens when Anderson Cooper isn't gay.
And that was probably some of the tamer.
Good ending.
material.
Yeah, that was the tamer.
It continues from there. We'll discuss several more specific beats, but I want to pick things up there and once again give us a baseline here. Start with Steve.
Yeah.
Your pedigree across hats focuses primarily in both writing and comedy. That sort of moves across not all, but most. And if your disease that's given to you is some sort of mania, it might even stretch into your newest hat. I'm just curious, you know, as a writer, as a comic, a personality also that does not lend itself to blowing up.
Right.
What's your take on Wolf's full job there and the reaction that she generated? Let's start at the top.
Okay, from the top. Michelle Wolf, coming from the Comedy Central culture, which is now drenched in a constant roast culture. Mm. They don't just do a roast once a year. They have, I think there's a show that's like, every day, roast somebody with, was it Jonathan? No, not Jonathan.
Taylor Thomas?
Ross.
Waiting for that.
Jeff Ross.
I sound like a grandfather now. Yeah, thank you.
Who is that guy?
That Jonathan Rossi.
That unkempt comic.
Jeff Ross. Comedy Central decided that this roast mentality could be monetized all year long. And I think maybe in the description of what they said was basically bring a roast. And there's no punch pulling there.
You're talking about for Michelle
Wolf. For the WHCD, yes.
Absolutely. Michelle I can confirm Wolf. that is the job.
Right.
Yeah.
So
roast.
They bring her in and I think at its most basic, it was a no-win scenario for her, which is if she brings in a bunch of tame stuff that people tune out, they say, Michelle Wolf, particularly as a woman, missed a real chance. So that's one way that she
or failed, right? She failed. Yeah, she wasn't
right,
funny.
Right. They put you up there for 20 minutes. You had that platform, and you decided to toss softballs at them.
Right.
On the other hand, this response, which I think is the weirder of the response, honestly.
How would you characterize the? I mean, in brief, how might you characterize what the? I mean, there were strata, there were partisan sides, but how would you describe the response?
In a word, unfair. I think at least those were the voices that came out first. And I was reading a wrap up on NPR, which NPR keeps its opinion out of it, but says, "Hey, here's what a bunch of prominent people." It was an article just saying, like, here's what someone tweeted and here's what somebody else tweeted. On the other hand, this lobbyist didn't like it this way. And then they have to put...
That's a lovely way to say it. This paid shill thought about this in dollar signs.
So in a way, an NPR editor even adds some judgment in putting a headline that says whether they choose to use the word controversial or scandalous or eviscerates. There's always there's a little bit of judgment there. But in general, the wrap-up of it was unfair... and weirdly hypocritical.
Okay. And again, we're going baseline because we are going to get granular about this. Jill was out and about, right? You had a trip. Were you still on this trip while... I'm just thinking
I was gardening on Saturday.
Okay.
And then I was
thinking as someone who's
gardening. But then Sunday probably, I was out. Yeah.
Who probably wasn't glued to this was the way I approached it.
Yeah. It just wasn't on my radar.
Because I can confirm, I don't know if I'm the only one who was doing this at the time. When Michelle Wolf was delivering the remarks, I was like on Twitter... You know what I mean? Watching response, watching the routine. So I was thinking, like, you know what? I bet, and this is a good thing, I bet Jill is a little less nerdy about this right now and will come to this at a later time.
Right.
So I'm curious, as someone who was like that, what was your take on this, on her the job she did and the response?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think she did a good job because I just give anyone credit to go up. No one who's done that job has had a positive overwhelming positive response in the room.
You mean from like, all? Oh, okay.
Anyone who does that, Larry Wilmore, Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers, I mean, people who do that
Don
job.
Imus. The charming Don Imus.
Right. I mean, you know, when you accept that job, that you're playing to a room that's not really going to enjoy everything that you say. It's gotten even more roasty, but like, you know that. So I think going into that, especially for someone whose name is not as well known and is kind of like on the rise, I think that was a big risk. And I think it overall paid off for her because everyone's talking about her and she does have the show coming out.
It's not just for Kanye anymore.
Right.
But I do think,
and there's a local comedian. She's not, she lives locally, but she performs all over. She posted something that, Liz Russo, she posted something that was very similar to kind of my views on it, which is basically what she said was that...
This is a tweet?
No, it was a post that she did.
Like she wrote it on a
Facebook.
Telephone. Oh, okay.
She sky wrote it. Took up a lot.
Ace pilot and comedian Liz Russo.
A lot of airspace. No, she basically said what I was thinking, which is that, you know, she didn't find the whole thing to be funny, but the stuff that she didn't find funny didn't offend her. And that basically this I will read verbatim. It's the people who don't get the joke that I find obscene. Don't use false pretense and deliberate misinterpretation to justify your feigned outrage. I find that more offensive than any joke.
And we'll be coming back to what she's referencing.
Right. I don't really get. There's people I don't find funny. I just don't find them funny. I'm not like, oh, man, this was how outrageous for you to say these things. Yeah. Like, just, and if you really don't find somebody to be funny, then just don't watch. If you really didn't like what she said, don't watch her show. Like, who cares? But, like, okay. The premise of the jokes was painfully true. You know what I mean? I may not have found them all to be funny, but I was like, well, that's pretty accurate, mm-hmm. though. At the end of the day, truth hurts. And I'm not a big fan of roasts to begin with, so that part of it wasn't appealing to me.
That's, yeah, that's a great post that she wrote.
Yeah, click like on that for me, will you?
Yeah.
You can follow her.
A great joke or a great routine is kind of this intersection of a few things. It's like, technical competence, construction of the joke, how relatable it is to the audience, and what the bias of the audience is. And I think you can get away with a laugh if you have two of those things. You can't if you have at least two. All three is great, but if you only have one, the joke falls flat. And the wrap-up that I saw seemed to say, well, there were moments where the jokes were just greeted by uncomfortable silence. And I think that's mainly because the jokes were a little too cumbersome, a little too long.
Well, I might offer as well, there is no way in fictional hell that Michelle Wolf or anyone who has played that room since the advent of television isn't aware that the real room is not in that space, I think.
Right.
Those C-SPAN viewers.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
Which actually, that's an interesting thing. That's an interesting point that you're making, because literally it's even beyond the channel. She's playing to two levels deep. She's playing not to the people directly in the room, and mostly not.
Right.
Not even to the actual people watching the show. She's playing to Twitter. She's playing to people who are going to see clips of this. Or
as are the subjects of the jokes.
Quite
they
true.
They know their
quite
reaction
true.
Is going to be...
Quite true. And so the icy silence, too, reaches out past C-SPAN and whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, we're going to come to some of the issues that were slightly circling now, much more fully momentarily. But first, the brain. Comedy. And comedy. And the brain. See, I've been thinking about this conflict that we've been talking about already, both in terms of social media response and actual news that has come out, the analysis both about Michelle Wolf's comedy and the analysis about the reactions to her comedy, and on as this serpent swallows its own tail. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that we might be on another deeper level of what color is the dress about this scenario right now, that we might be on the is it blue or is it gold, there can be no peace among human beings moment. And so I want to explain by saying first, Michelle Wolf said the following. Okay, let's start to really get our feet wet here. She said the following about our press secretary, about whom...
this is one of my favorite... Okay. Jokes that she had.
About whom I'm sure no one disagrees about anything. Everyone has one opinion about Sarah Sanders, I'm sure. There are no variances ever at all.
Right.
Michelle Wolf said, I quote, I actually really like Sarah. I'm not even going to try to do the delivery. I am incapable of doing her delivery.
Yeah.
I actually really like Sarah. I think she's very resourceful. Like, she burns facts and then she uses the ash to create a perfect smoky eye. Like, maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's lies. It's probably lies. And you, Jill, you, Steve Bost, and you, citizens listening, just heard something very different than what the listener down the street heard, than what your dad heard, than what permanent exasperated sigh Maggie Haberman of the New York Times heard. Jill, I'm curious, what do you hear in that joke? What has Michelle Wolf poked fun at? What is the joke that you just heard?
Right. That was one of the jokes that I actually did laugh, that made me laugh, because I just think it's really funny.
I believe you.
Obviously, if it made me laugh, I think it's funny.
That's a good joke. Ha ha.
Yes. But to me, when I hear that joke, I hear that she's really just poking fun at the fact that this woman does lie for almost a living. Like,
what?
She just comes out and says stuff that you can point to and go, like, but that's not true. Well, it doesn't matter because I, as this press secretary, am kind of a bullish figure where, like, I don't really care about your feelings and I don't care what you have to say.
What do you mean by that? Bullish figure.
I just said that she doesn't care about your feelings. She doesn't care about what you...
What's her figure have to do with it?
Oh, my God.
See what I'm doing? This shit is meta.
That's the stuff that angers me, though, because it's like people want to go deeper into it because she brought up her eyeshadow, which, you know, she didn't... One, she didn't say that it was bad, but that is, in terms of her persona, that's almost become part of her persona.
Okay.
But she didn't make fun of the way she looked. She just brought up this aspect of her, and the actual point... The subject of the joke is not her eyeshadow. It's the lies. It's how she does her job.
Okay.
So that's why I just think people that got upset, it's like, I get it, but you really, at that point, I don't know what jokes you do get because you're missing the point and the subject of the actual, like, what's the actual nugget of the punchline for her?
Steve, same question.
Right.
And I don't mean to cut you off at the knees, Joe,
yeah,
but
no,
I feel like if we can isolate first what we think this joke was... What's the mockery or what is being sent out? What is the mechanics of the joke in your opinion?
Well, I think you're leaving out the other part. The other thing that many people latched onto is that she also made this Handmaid's Tale comparison.
Yeah, I had to sort of be careful about picking and choosing in our line. But yeah, she also mentioned I loved you as Lydia.
Right.
I don't know if it was Aunt Lydia in The Handmaid's Tale. And if you want to unpack that a little bit, but I was hoping you would stick, damn it.
I'm sorry.
To this one particular thing. But if you want to extend it, go ahead.
I think it's a diptych. No one, I don't think anyone hearing that eyeshadow.
What?
It's a diptych.
What? No, I'm with you. It's part of the classical dyad.
Yeah.
There's your Simpsons reference, ladies and gentlemen. Steve is with us. Thus, there must be at least one Simpsons reference.
Well, I am a Harvard man.
And another.
The eyeshadow joke in isolation, I don't think can be it's more difficult to interpret that as are you making fun of her appearance, but then when she says aunt or Miss
which came
Lydia,
first I think right the I loved you as Aunt Lydia was for, and then this right. appeared but and yes I, they were sequential
right and I haven't seen The Handmaid's Tale, but I understand how hearing those two jokes together, someone also projecting onto that would say, well, you're making fun of her appearance for because she's not the ingenue of the White House.
Okay. But what? How many Kushners can there be? But what do you say then? Let's just turn it on its head.
Sure.
And let's keep it with both. What are they, in your opinion? What are those jokes about?
Behavior.
So this is about a which I think Michelle. I mean, to tip my hand to that, Michelle Wolf came out and said, "I'm talking about actions here." So what you're saying is this has to do with Sarah Sanders' proclivity to dissemble.
To disseminate. But also, there are things in her body language and in her voice when she is conducting these briefings that again are not about her makeup or about any factor of her appearance. If she was just a photo in a magazine, but the way that she comports and the faces that she makes and the tone and the vocal tics, which are all behavioral things, which are fair game to analyze, I think whether a man or a woman.
Now, I'm curious about this, both of you, as just a yes or no, as much as you're willing to do one. Mm. There is significant discussion from an opposing viewpoint to yours, I'll call it, a contrasting, but it's basically diametrically opposed, where there are those saying, amongst other things Michelle Wolf did, and there is some gradation in what that is, depending on who's talking. But that she went after this woman's appearance, right? That she went after ugliness, physical ugliness as a woman against another woman, you know, in this charged time. You know, why did she have to do that? And isn't that, you know, how much of a betrayal is that? I'm trying to loosely quote because I'm quoting a melange of voices.
Right.
Now, I'm sure you've both encountered many voices that are saying that. Again, there was Maggie Haberman. There was
Mika
Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough. There was a sort of round robin of the problems with it on Morning Joe, et cetera.
The fatty layer of pundits we could most do without. What do you mean by that? I mean that you have all of these concentric rings of takes on things. You know, you have Twitter and average message board fool, of which there are 100 million of those. And then you have, political reporters who've actually been doing this for a while.
Shoe leather reporters, then, I think, is what I saw that on Twitter.
There you go.
That's good.
And then in between, you have paid reactors. Ooh. And the Post has them, and New York Times has them, and every cable network is basically paved with them.
Paid reactors.
Yes. These are the
women who love them.
The people whose takes are, lighter than air, but we have to sift through them all.
That's interesting that you say it like that, because here is my first question, and there's more behind this. Is it your opinion that these people who see it differently are lying about their way that they perceived those jokes?
No.
Eyeshadow, Aunt Lydia. Yeah. Do you feel they're lying, or do you feel that those are sincerely held views that are informing those criticisms?
Those are sincerely held views, because you deal with it with a lot of different topics. I think people project what they think, right? If someone says to you, I'm trying to think of an example, but if you're self-conscious about your weight and someone mentions something and it really has nothing to do with weight at all, if you literally look at the word and you're like,
fat chance,
you're like, how dare you? Like, that's because
my
you're
name's
basically
Chance. That's too close.
Projecting the things that you are perceiving as a slight, because you're already sensitive to it. So a lot of women are sensitive, obviously, to, especially in this climate, people talking about a woman's look. So the fact that she talked about any, eyeshadow, which has to do with makeup, which has to do with how you look, all of a sudden now you're going down this rabbit hole of, she's saying that she's ugly. Well, nowhere did she say she's ugly. Nowhere did she imply that she's ugly. She implied that her behavior is abhorrible.
So your take, abhorrent, excuse me, your take is that it's a mistake.
No, I think it's that
it has to do with physical appearance is an error in understanding.
Combine that.
Well, yes, but you're looking for it.
I'm trying to understand.
No, but that's what I'm saying is that I think they're also looking for this, and they want to, because they don't want someone to attack someone for their looks. So they're like hypersensitive to anything that would even apply to a visual element, even though at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with her.
That perhaps if we weren't in a 60-second news cycle, they might think better of. However, everyone is paid for their instant take on everything. So the people probably, while the thing is unspooling live, these people, these Habermans, et cetera, have to come up with something.
These Habermen.
Immediately.
So Steve, is it safe to say that your take on this is the same as Jill's? That by degrees, someone's outrage or offense taken for Sarah Sanders. I have not yet encountered her own comments about it. I think wisely they have decided to keep her mostly quiet about it. But you think that those who would be offended by this are mistaken?
I think I line up with Jill on this mostly, with the exception of Fox News, who they have all those opinions have to be first poured into the tinted glass of Fox News viewership, in which case they found a way to make the Muppets leftists because they were up against an oil tycoon. Therefore, they must be anti-capitalist. So, everything, they know their viewers, what they want. So that's a more cynical take. Generally what you're saying is that their own projections and biases.
Well, let me turn the screw a little bit then here. Let me take another step, because we can certainly agree, I would hope, that each side is very enthusiastic about their opinions about this, that there is, of course, the machinery that is made to be enthusiastic about everything. But it certainly seems on social media, to me at least, that people have something to say. If it is a mistake, they're wrapped up in this thing and they're just firing off, which does, I think, comport with what you're saying about what this feeds into as far as insecurity. If people believe that this was, hey, girl, truth to power, get in there, throw the fastball and let the chips fall where they may, and anything in between, which those definitely happened. I believe that there are members of both sides that really sincerely believe what they're saying. Maybe some are mistaken. I genuinely, though, think that there are healthy contingents of both, that they really are seeing the dress in different colors, that people heard those words and either pulled out, you're making reference to behavior patterns only, and they really, really believe that. And there are other people who heard it and said, you are making veiled, perhaps, criticisms at this person's expense. And that reminds me precisely of deep-rooted divergence in perception as understood through psychoanalysis.
I knew you'd say that.
Of course
that.
It does.
Obviously, yes. And of course, I'm talking about the brain.
Woo!
I got there. Mm-hmm. Specifically about this phenomenon, thematic apperception. Now, are we familiar with that terminology, lady and gent? Thematic apperception.
Not really, no.
Not really from Jill, Steve. Thematic.
Apperception.
Not a perception.
Different from.
Double P.
Right.
Apperception. And I checked. You're familiar?
I wish I was more. I'd glossed.
All right. Let me lay it out quickly. It's a rather old, still in use psychoanalytic process, and I'm going to give you even shorthand of my shorthand here. It goes back to the early 20th century, still used, where effectively you try to get someone to give you insight into how they think by getting them to talk to you about an image or a sequence of images. So they would show someone a woman in a photograph on a porch, her hand lifted as if to wave at someone with a concerned expression on her face. And they then ask the person, what is happening in this picture? What led to this picture? What brought us to that moment that you just described? And what do you feel will happen after this moment? Just to get them to, and then there's another one and another one. I think the original author and authors, actually two of them, who came up with this were like, there's 20. Get him talking 20. And what happens is you begin to get someone's personality traits are coming out. Their values begin coming out. Their concerns, their anxieties. Sometimes this is used on people to try to understand some anti or subsocial behavior, like what, let's try to understand this. Mm. So it gets people to pour out what they're thinking about these images, right? Mm. Alas, it is such a visual thing because I wanted to try doing some of it on the show, right? But it did get me thinking about this in terms of we all perceive things differently. Again, there are gradients, but differently based on our values, our personalities, to Jill's point, and you echoed it, Steve, I'm sure it's true. What is going on in our politics, what's going on in our personal lives, that we color these things in so that no two people really perceive the same thing the same way. And we could drill that way down to words. But the point here on the Whip Around, none of us are psychologists. Steve, none of your hats are psychologists yet.
Yet.
Right? Okay. Mine either. Jill's
no.
Got glasses, but beyond that, not a psychologist.
Just look the part.
Comfy sweater and glasses. It's close. But I think as students of comedy, which is always great, is our doctor in the house. I'm a comedian. As students of comedy, Steve, a full-blown comedian.
That's one of my diseases, actually.
Thank
sure
you. I got a full-blown case of comedian.
Full-blown comedy.
And owners of one brain, at least, a piece. Mm-hmm. I think it's worth asking ourselves what we think Michelle Wolff's comments revealed, right? To try to peel a layer back about what exactly she was saying. Maybe about us, if there's some way we can talk about what she touched off in us. Did anything get you to emotionally engage? And what maybe you saw in other people? We've talked about that a little bit and how they're reacting. So, Steve, what would you say the whole issue of Wolf's job and the media reaction, what does it tell you about the value system of the media?
Right. It tells me that goose-stepping morons like yourself should try reading books.
Instead of burning.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you.
Okay.
Jill, name that movie.
Last Crusade.
She did it. You give me a look like, you son of a... It's, I got it. Nice.
Well, I know. I know.
Well
it.
Done.
All right. Yeah. But Raiders always comes to mind first, so it took me a second.
Okay.
All right.
Understandable.
So I think I get you, Sean. And the shame and what I've been thinking about for about 10 minutes as we've talked about this is how it's taken all the oxygen away from what Michelle Wolff was really trying to say. Not that what we're addressing isn't worth addressing.
Oh, no, like, we're going down an alleyway. That's what we do. We go running.
Got lost.
We veer.
Right. Sociologically, and I already touched on this, I guess, but you know, when I look at Sarah Huckabee Sanders in a briefing with the sound off.
You do that a lot.
I do most of the time. If I'm in a bar with news, the bar doesn't have the sound on, and good on them for not.
Okay.
But I read symbols in her that suggest that she's going to be combative and she's going to stonewall and that it's not a good process and that whatever she's saying to the reporters is not healthy.
Okay.
All right. Have I veered off?
I think right now you are on the epidermis.
Okay.
What I'm wondering then is in the media's reaction
mm-hmm.
to what happened, knowing that fact and then knowing what Michelle Wolf did, maybe to poke the bear, what do you think you can glean from about our culture based on how the media responded to her? Maybe it's worth saying, what did we learn about it from the reaction to the reaction? Because you were saying that there are paid reactors.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying by that? Is there anything we can learn from how people were reacting to the first boom? What do you learn about us?
I would learn that if you, I guess, if you really want your message to come across, you know, like the pulsating nerve of your joke, which is important, or her joke was important, I guess you've got to clothe it just right. You've got to remain absolutely high so that no one thinks in any way that you're going low.
Well, I mean, that does sort of remind me. I think somebody put up, I don't know what year it was, but the Oscars with Anne Hathaway and
James Franco.
Somebody posted it with, like, this is what you get when you don't want to offend anybody.
It's true.
But Jill, in a similar sense, what about yourself?
Right.
If we could self-analyze a little, which is always safe, I think, right? That's how it's best to do your own psychological work. But what about – what is there anything you can pick up about yourself to say, you know what? As I look at how I reacted to this, here's what I think I can understand about me.
Oh, I had an answer to your other question, so
it's
this
dead.
Is harder.
It's
yeah,
dead. It's
yeah.
Gone.
I don't know. It's tough. Well, I mean,
do you want
I
me to
know,
offer
me,
one up? Because
I
was.
No, I wanted okay, to say
I'm
what I wanted to
say. Saying if you
say.
Wanted to meet a vamp, I can dance.
No, I just I think well, one obviously because we are all different, our brains are all different and work slightly differently. That's how humor works, right? Everyone's humor is slightly different.
Yeah,
which means that not every comedian. Plays to every crowd because or everyone in the same crowd that even went to go see them.
It won't work with
it's everybody. Not going to work with everybody. Yeah. What I noticed though, and this even worked for me watching her, is I think we always pick out the one thing that we found either to be the funniest to us or the most offensive, and that's what we take away.
No, we're saying we, but now I think, were I a psychologist, I might say.
Right. Me too.
Certainly
right.
You
right. I
would
just,
maybe be willing to say that about yourself.
Right, right.
I think that's a minor breakthrough.
Yeah.
I should do a cheap German accent. I think that's a minor breakthrough to say that for Jill, at least.
Right.
Jill picks up on, look, I think I gravitate toward, I will grab on and remember and identify with what's the thing that got me the most, what was the funniest, and or... what was the thing that bothered me the most?
Right. And then that's what I take away. And that's kind of what I've seen in the reaction to it. Because a lot of people are talking about the Sarah Sanders thing. I finally listened to the whole thing today. It's like such a minute portion of it.
Yeah,
and then so many people are like, oh, she's so rough on Trump. And no one talks about the fact that she was rough on the press, too. And if you're
I might about, suggest that yeah. might be why maybe she didn't get as many shields as
right.
she deserved.
And if you're talking about, like, physical appearance, you talked about Jake Tapper's O-face. Like, there's just, like, crazy
In a way that she didn't want to see any. Well, she didn't want to see any of their faces, then mocked what his probably
right.
would be.
So,
yes.
I mean, there's... people just pick out the thing that okay. they found to be that they found, I think, to be the most outrageous because that's also how our brains work. Like the thing that makes the most impact inside our brains is like,
whoa. I keep saying we, and I keep hearing I. I just want to let you know that.
That's fine.
I'd be a terrible psychologist. Like, I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking right now. Now I want to move on soon, Steve. But do you have something that maybe you want to reveal a little more about yourself here?
I don't know if it reveals anything about me.
I don't know.
There's.
Is there something you can diagnose?
There are my particular biases. There is my, you know, appraising I as a working comedian. Mm-hmm. You know, I see things like, well, that joke would have been better if it was shorter. You know, if it had just had some editing or if she moved the punchline closer to the end instead of burying it, that sort of thing.
You're just seeing code, just the matrix.
I am seeing code, but, you know, like a raunchy joke snappily delivered can overcome the fact that it might make people uncomfortable and make them laugh in spite of themselves.
Hmm.
And so maybe if she'd had a little more time to work on it, she could have avoided a couple of those derailments. The abortion joke was a groaner and a bad choice.
Oh, right. The get in there.
Knock
thing.
It out.
Don't knock it if you haven't tried it.
That was a little.
Bad idea.
A little right. borscht-y.
Yes.
Right.
But, you know, I think the main accusation leveled against her was, lost the audience because occasionally it was raunchy. Mm-hmm. We could talk about, you know, why she lost the audience, because they're sitting amongst the people who are the targets of the joke, and that's going to make them probably laugh into their sleeve a little bit.
And there's the access journalism angle I wish we had time to talk about,
which
is a major issue, actually.
Right.
But let me go here instead. This is my the last issue before we get to our fun game, okay? I don't know how much you guys are aware of this part, the coda that was offered by the White House Correspondents Association, but the outgoing president sort of offered this long, I'm gonna call it obsequious, frankly, but this, oh, I'm sorry, it was all supposed to be about unity and the entertainer, she kept referring to the entertainer, which I'm hearing, you know,
distancing.
Jazz age music or whatever it was in the moment. But anyway, yeah, distancing is the right word. And she mentioned that this didn't help the unifying cordial relationships. I want to play a Dave Chappelle quote, because whenever I hear about unification of divergent views, I think Dave Chappelle. He's also one of my favorite comedians of all time. And I want your reactions to it vis-a-vis the White House Correspondents' Dinner and the organization's, what I'm going to characterize again as a summary surrender via letter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So again, she didn't unify people. And the response that I invite our listeners to find was very much like, yeah, we regret that. So I might have to trim this around the edges. I'm sorry, but I want you to hear this, and I want to know what you think comparing this to what we're dealing with.
And this reason is the real reason that's been percolating, and it really is the crowd, not you. I'm talking about the crowd on the big stage. It's too hard to entertain a country whose ears are so brittle. Motherfuckers are so sensitive, the whole country is turned into bitch-ass niggas.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not able to quote any of that back. Well, certainly not the ending beat to you, but I'm curious. Steve, are we suffering from a bitch-ass problem in the country's comedy listeners?
We are.
And to what degree are we suffering from a bitch-ass problem? Are we unable to access the right amount of comedy?
Enough so that comedians across the color spectrum, and I don't mean Republican, Democrat. I mean from the ones who work extremely blue to Jerry Seinfeld. You know, Jerry Seinfeld is a safe comedian, right?
Sure.
Even he sees the problem. And I said way back – when I was tiptoeing around like Lehigh Valley audiences, which is that even if the subject matter, certain words, trigger words, come up, that
you just whispered trigger.
I did whisper trigger because I hate, and I also hate that I used air quotes. But
you would have gotten away with it. All right,
but you would have known, Sean. You would have known.
I still do,
and I care that you care.
Well, yes, thank you.
But
I'm flattered.
Certain words that pucker butts. That you can't even wade into the subject and talk about it, even if your thesis is what the enlightened people agree with. You can't get away with it because you can't get started. And I think that's what comedians, including Chappelle, are talking about. It's like you must become acquainted with what's uncomfortable so that I can maybe pull a truth out of the hat if you will listen long enough.
Hmm. Jill, same question to you, really. You know, are our ears too brittle as a group, right? As modern American audiences, are our ears so brittle now that shields come up before maybe some people who might be reached by effective comedy can receive it?
Absolutely. And it's really dangerous because then I think you have performers that will censor themselves from material, like Steve's talking about, because you have a high risk. I mean, you have regular people who are making jokes online that honestly, yeah, maybe it's an off-color joke or it wasn't a good one in particular, but it was not an actual, I'm this awful person. It was meant as a joke, and these people then lose their jobs. So you have performers that are like, well, if this is my livelihood and if I take a risk here, I may not get another gig. And then what am I going to do? Like, now I'm out of
work. So the stakes
work.
Become just so murderously
right.
high.
Right. And then what you end up with is a society who's not being shown these accurate reflections so that they can make course adjustments. I mean, that's what comedy's meant to do.
But I think it's important for us to wonder about how much never gets through even our own filter when we throw up the, you've said the thing. I hate the word, like, the triggered thing. I really do. But if someone has a trigger word or phrase or issue and immediately walls come up, I think those people are by degrees, less apt to self-examine. Right? I think that's my two cents. But, you know, when Sean starts giving his two cents, it's probably time for some fun games. You guys ready to play? I wish we had more time to play a lot of stuff, Steve. I really do.
Oh, that's fine.
I wish we had time to talk about way more than this, and I hope you come back.
I will. I wish I didn't ramble so much. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay.
Let's play.
I'm a great improver, see? So what I would like to do here is I want to put you guys in the driver's seat a little bit of comedy.
Okay.
And see how well you do at all this stuff and see how you would fare at what Michelle Wolf was tasked with doing.
Okay.
And ironically, Steve had been mentioning that if she only had more time. Well, you get very little. We are going to play the 5-second roast. Ladies and gentlemen, and the rules are very simple. I've got here the Wheel of Pain from the Hot Wing episode, which I've repurposed into the Wheel of, Pain for giving out a roast. Now, each of you provided me with a name earlier that I have added to the wheel. There are other names of celebrities and various outlets that are here. I figure maybe we could go around 3 times, and each of you gets 5 seconds once you find out who the name is. You get 5 seconds, which is really the time for one quip to roast the person who has come up.
Do
you have any questions about the rule? Really, it's just, you know, it's one shot. It's a little Hamilton reference, maybe. You get one shot here to just get in there and roast this person.
Ooh,
5-second roast.
Jonathan Rossi here? I know it's Jeffrey Ross now. I know that now.
Well, there is Jonathan Ross.
I don't know.
Who's a British.
Sound like a cologne. I was going to go with it. Fine.
Host.
But we're going to play this, okay? We're gonna start with Jill. Steve, you're the guest.
Great.
You get a little second to like get yourself.
Thank you.
In
great.
The
zone. Actual comedian gets time. I took my glasses off though, so now I can't see. So I feel much more prepared.
Good. You're fine. You're okay. Looking. You can
we'll
feel
to,
the.
We'll be able to hear you better.
The spotlights, right. The footlights are right there. Are you ready, Jill?
Yeah.
Here we go.
You're going to have to tell me what it lands on.
Yeah.
I can't read it.
I will totally tell you. No visual
just
media
be a surprise
on this
for
show.
The listener.
And I'll do a better sound effect. Oh boy. We're going straight to the big time. Jill, when I say go, it's time.
Oh, my God.
Your person is Donald Trump. 5 seconds. Go.
Oh, you suck. I can't come up. There's like, you know, I can't. 5 seconds. That's it.
Yeah, it's
you
long
suck.
Over. It's long over.
I know.
It's long over. Steve, do you want to warm up and
steal?
Yeah, do you
yes.
want to steal?
Yeah,
Steve.
Steal
yes.
on
Let's
that
give
one.
It a shot. Steve,
all right.
Donald Trump, 5-second roast. Go.
The ingrown hair on the thigh of the White House.
See, that there is how go. It's done. Now, Steve, you're just going to have to stay in the driver's seat here because it is your turn for a spin.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. What if it comes up on Donald Trump just 6 times?
It'd be amazing. Wait.
Are you ready, Steve?
I'm ready.
Your person is Kanye West. 5 seconds. Go.
Kanye West would fuck his own belly button. Probably wishes he could.
Oh, I have something
hey,
for him.
Well, no, you can't steal. He gave one. Jill, he might still come up for you. Jill, are you ready for your spin?
Yes.
On the 5-second roast. Here we go. Jill, your person, are you ready?
I guess.
5-second roast
of
Bill Cosby. Go!
Even your glaucoma is ashamed.
Yes!
Hey!
Yes! I am so proud right now. That's wonderful. Ooh. Hello, mm-hmm. friend. Okay, all right. Let's shake it out. That was a good one. Steve, are you ready?
I think so.
And then I think after this, it's one more Jill, one more Steve, right? We've got
yeah.
one after this. It's another. Okay. I'm going to miss this game. Ready? Here we go. Here's a big spin.
Oh, we're not playing the feud.
I thought he was summoning Mjolnir. Steve just swung the hand out. Steve has received Taylor Swift. 5-second roast. Ready? Go.
Oh, my God. If only she would have put out more, we'd have had none of those songs.
See? Jill, are you triggered? Are you triggered? Are you self-reflecting, Jill?
Yeah.
Okay. So Jill's last turn coming up, everybody.
I lost the why I'm missing district.
Well, we're getting complaints already. I can feel it. Here we go. Good luck, Jill. big time. Jill?
Yeah.
5-second roast of Stormy Daniels. Go!
Nothing. I know it's so bad.
Steve, do you want to try to steal?
I could try to steal.
Jill, you're going again. Okay. But first, Steve is going to steal. Ready? 5-second roast of Stormy Daniels, Miss Stephanie Clifford. Ready? Go!
I love what you stand for, but give that money to charity because it don't look good.
Like when you go back into the dental, it don't look good. Hey, ba-bing, ba-boom. All right, Jill, you're back in the hot seat here. Okay. You got to go again. Are you ready?
Think this fast.
Here we go. Jill, your person is Taylor Swift. It was your name, I believe you gave. 5-second roast of Taylor Swift. Jill, ready, go!
Bad blood, bad music. I don't know.
You know what they say.
Bad music. Bad. Steve,
if the blood is bad.
Steve, it is our final round here.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a spin.
I feel like I almost need to clarify my Taylor Swift comments, but there's no time.
No, there is no time. There's less than no time.
I will I'll
You owe me 5 minutes.
What do you need to clarify? What do you need to clarify?
Here we go. Who knows? It's a mystery for the ages. All right. Steve.
Mm-hmm.
We could not have ended on a better name. 5-second roast.
Okay.
Of Sarah Huckabee Sanders. 5 seconds. Go!
Oh, that vocal tick where she has to go, reveals all the lies.
I know that one you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's this little warm-up-y Northern Irish sounding, the president would be more than clear on that. That was good. Do you want to try a Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Jill?
Since... I want to say my Kanye West one.
Hold on. Let's pretend it was Kanye West. 5-second roast. Jill, go.
Even hobos are like, those clothes, I'm not even going to burn them. Not even worth it. Just wipe my butt.
Jill deserved a 10-second roast on that one. I just wanted to see where that kept going.
I don't have anything for Sarah Sanders. I still think Michelle Wolf's line was like the best one.
By the way, before we go to our final commercial here, can I ask something? I'll start. What was your favorite bit from the Michelle Wolf roast? I will tell you mine, and I mean like your favorite comedy bit, like not you know, because the ending beat of Flint still doesn't have clean water is not funny, but it's definitely it's a powerful
the
beat.
The most pointed.
My favorite was saying that Mike Pence is the type of guy who goes to the bathroom, brushes his teeth, drinks orange juice, and then goes,
That's
my absolute favorite. It was so obscure and wonderful. That was my favorite. Jill, what was your favorite joke of the roast?
Next to the maybe it's lies, was the one about Ivanka. Just like her dad not being able to satisfy women.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
I thought that was good.
That was well, okay. Steve, take us to break here by letting us know which of those bits, of which there were so many, packed in.
I liked her attacking CNN. She took him to task. She said that...
You like breaking news. You did it.
Yep. You broke it. Yep. Okay. That was even better than the Bourdain joke. I mean, the breaking news, it's so... fundamentally obvious and never I don't know that it's occurred to anyone else in any other venue.
You're right So she chased him down, she killed him, and
which I don't know why then the right isn't like, that was great.
I think that it's more than they can kind of get their you can't praise her and then take it away. It's too complicated for their message. So anyway, we will go to commercial here. That has been the 5-second roast, maybe the most difficult game that we've played yet on the show.
For me, for sure.
I was impressed by both of you, actually. That is a difficult game. It was fun, though, to listen to and not have to worry about. We'll be right back. We're going to talk 3 for the road. Before that, we're going to hear all about ways you can get your Steve Bost fix.
Yeah.
And you're going to want that.
Besides... you don't have to be a nursing patient to do it.
Right.
You know?
Or an addict of the whip around where you're like, episode 28, episode 28, episode 28, again, again, again. Yeah, we're gone.
Oh, look at Mr. or Mrs. Big Shot over here. Everyone wants a piece of this go-getter. I'm sure you hear it from your boss, your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents. Everyone wants a piece of you.
Well, let us join the ranks, Chief. We need your mighty social media muscles to lift us to new listeners. So like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at The Whip Around. Heck, while you're at it, join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you.
Act 3 begins now, and have we got something to remind you about that can only be taken in a mature way. Remember, the Whip Around is going to be at Steel Trap Trivia again tonight. Tonight! For those of you listening to this in a timely fashion. And that we're going to recommend, what, 7 o'clock? 7:15?
7:15.
Be there at the downstairs, right, at the Bethlehem Brew Works on Main Street in Bethlehem. Just look for the crowds, actually. The place is usually bustling.
It's called the Steel Garden. We register at 7:30. We start the game at 8. No trivia is more eclectic. We cover many, many, many topics.
And how? The Steel Garden, or what I tend to call the beer underworld, they just head on down. Grab a seat wherever ye may.
Yep, correct. Sit, Ken.
And then times will be good and rolling at 8 o'clock-ish. Right. And don't forget, we are playing Beat the Whip Around, so that any team that defeats the Whip Around score, which we are not competing for prizes. We cannot win an actual place or prize. But at the end of the night, we'll let you know what our score is. If your team defeated us, we will give a shout out on next week's show announcing how many of y'all were smarter than these bums at the Whip Around. Sorry, Jill. You're the least bum of us. Is that okay?
No, I already knew that. That's fine.
Okay. Just stating the obvious.
Yep.
Now, I think, Steve, anything that we can plug, where else besides Steel Trap Trivia can people get into the Steve pipeline? Where else can we see you if we are not medical students?
Right. More fool you.
I know.
Yeah, that's all right. It's too late now. We have our education.
Should have been a cult leader or a local nursing professional.
Maybe there's no difference.
You know what? If I could combine those two things, that's synergy. That's where it's at.
That word again.
Why is the best call? Why is the best call for the party culture have to be something that ends in a preposition? That's where it's at.
Where it's at.
Fellows. Huh. Fellows. Fellows. Linguistic redundancy will get you nowhere. In fact, you're squandering precious party time.
That was the theme of my prom. Linguistic redundancy, actually.
Anyway, where can we find you?
Besides my baby, the Steel Trap Trivia every Wednesday at the Brew Works. I have, outgrown into a couple of other venues that are all fun and unique in their own way. Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., Hardball Cider, which is just a few doors down from the Brew Works on Main Street. And Thursdays...
Wait, where is that? On
the same side? Yeah.
Just so everyone's clear, in Bethlehem.
Correct.
Pennsylvania.
180.
Well, I just don't want people to accidentally think about the Allentown Brew Works. So
good point.
Bethlehem Brew Works.
Good point.
Fair.
Main Street, Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hardball Cider.
Where is that?
It's a tasting room. It's there. It's nestled there. It's sort
of, in the same little complexy thing?
Well, no.
Down the street? Doors down?
Well, yes. I think it's literally between the Social Security office. So if you've gone into the cider place, you're going to have more fun, but you're not going to get your benefits.
Hmm.
And I think the Thai restaurant is on the other side.
So oh, okay. I know where that
there.
Is.
You hear that? I apologize for the minutia of Bethlehem navigation, but I am curious about this cider spot.
It's delicious cider. It's fun trivia. I'm there. 7 o'clock. It's an accessible time.
Tuesday. Yeah,
very accessible.
Yes. Well, yes.
And then a very special game called Smarts Quest at the Steel Stacks on the south side. That's Thursday, and that's at 7:30. That's a film and music trivia, and especially unique because I have TVs. I do visual categories that I can't do anywhere else.
No cheating goes on at these games, right? This is a don't use your phone scenario.
I don't know.
Diligent about that.
I don't know any trivias that are.
No, but I mean, like, lesser trivia. You guys keep your eye on
that.
Yeah,
we do.
That would be amazing if there was a trivia. Who can find the answer the fastest?
Sort of a
Google trivia.
Sort of a John Henry situation where, like, you know, I think I could beat the machine.
Sure.
You get it, right? You get it.
I might do that as a stunt, but only if
this is steam-powered trivia, y'all. Are you ready for 3 for the road?
I'm ready.
Steve is going to play Three for the Road with us, everybody. And I'm sure you remember what it is, but I'm going to give you a little refresher. It is that time where we get to talk about whatever we didn't get to talk about during the main acts of the show. Stuff that didn't fit with the theme. Stuff that we just didn't have time if it was on theme. And then everybody gets three shots at that. 30 seconds, take your turn, say your thing. If you hit that 30-second mark, you will hear something that sounds a lot like this. And then it is time for the next person to go. And then we will go round and round three times. Brains, blood dry, then show is over. Are there any questions? Well, I can't hear you. Jill's going first.
Yeah.
Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Are we set?
Yeah.
Are we go, 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 go?
So, this past week, you threw me off. All right. So, this past week, we had the first penis and scrotum transplant surgery. It is not the first one ever, but it's the first one to use so much tissue, including the scrotum. Did not include the testes because that would be unethical.
Yeah.
Whose babies are these?
Tacky.
Some dead dude's babies, not mine. And it was impressive because it was a soldier who had been injured by an IED in Afghanistan and took 14 hours to complete, and now he has lifelong bragging rights.
Steve.
Just think we would never have had The Sun Also Rises. Oh, we also already on me. I'm sorry. All right. The Marvel Studios have had a great track record, but I saw this little high-budget fan film called Thor Ragnarok, which is 80s nostalgia, one too far. I don't need it.
Ooh.
The Stranger Things synth soundtrack is completely derivative, out-of-character humor. They created these characters, and then for the sake of some throwaway gags, completely tear down everything. And Jeff Goldblum plays Jeff Goldblum. It took me out.
My favorite so far.
Painful, but he's got authority. Speaking Trump's language is a shitty way to resist. I would just like to throw that out there. What if I told you you're helping the oppressors by using their catchphrases, okay? So drop the MAGA jokes. Stop saying every time something happens, oh, you're really draining the swamp. You just got to stop all that stuff. Don't do the, oh, because you're fired. You're helping him by speaking his language. You are putting it in his mouth. You are letting his supporters define the conversation. Find your own way to talk. Tell him he's a piece of shit without quoting his bullshit stuff from his dumb TV show Life.
So, finally, they caught the Golden State Killer. Ended up being Joseph James DeAngelis. Joseph James DeAngelo. Mm-hmm. 72 years old. Everyone's worst nightmare. He was a former cop, which is horrifying. It's just like BTK when he was an ADT person. Terrifies me. Anyway.
I always forget BTK. This
was between, these occurred between 74 and 86. It was 12 murders and 51 rapes and just a terrible person. And how awful to find out that, like, your neighbor was a Golden State Killer.
Yeah, ew. He's bad. You're right. Bad guy. Bad guy. Steve?
Comedy in the hands of amateurs. I didn't coin the phrase, but it's absolutely true. How many times public officials or celebrities have apologized because I was just making a joke and you misinterpreted it. But nonetheless, I have to make an apology. John Kerry is a very famous example. And I would just say that if you're the kind of uncharismatic person who cannot structure a joke, it actually is best left in the hands of professionals. Don't bother and stick to making policy.
Yeah, and shit I'd never have been able to come up with myself because I'm shit at arts and crafts news, everybody. Did you see bandages are getting an origami upgrade? Have we seen this yet?
No.
Medical researchers at MIT found that little kirigami slits, little organized little slits in regular patterns on stretchy material lead to higher adhesive quality in band-aids and the like on joints. And that has researchers even looking to make bandages themselves, sort of made out of this gelatinous medicine stuff. And then, of course, because we can never stop before it's creepy, apparently it's going to be the way that helps us adhere electronics to our skin. Jill.
So in the continuing saga of the Nexium cult with Allison Mack from Smallville, she did get arrested last week in relation to it. Remember, this is the sex cult led by Keith Raniere. According to this one article, they said that she would perform ceremonies in which her slaves were branded. She would place her hands on the slaves' chests and told them to feel the pain and to think of their master as they cried in pain. Sounds amazing.
I don't see a problem. That's your problem.
Not to sound like an old man, but and I don't like discussing the weather. However, this has to be addressed. for too long, I've lived in the Mid-Atlantic my whole life, as are the people, as have the people around me. Mm. And there is this persistent delusion that spring is some sort of continual 70-degree sunny day, when in fact, without rain, there is no spring green. So stop acting like clouds and rain are not spring-like weather. You're embarrassing yourselves.
Get off my well-watered lawn. So, yeah, recently Wayne Brady was hosting Let's Make a Deal, which apparently is a thing that he actually does. And this nerdy couple was asked on the show how long they had been together. And the girl squealed and laughed. And there was this whole thing. And she was like, we're actually not a thing. And apparently surprised him with their relationship status on the air. And then, that's not even the funny part, what happened was that every news outlet that covered it as this, like, human interest story, of course, said that he got what by her? He got put where, Jill, by this woman in front of everybody?
In a box?
He got put in the friend zone by her. And I'd like to put out again that that is a hideous thing to say. It is a garbage thing. Please stop saying friend zone. It's hideous, ugly, and gross.
Wait, I'm sorry, though. Did a follow-up question.
Yeah.
So was it, like, was it clear the dude was, like, shocked by this? Like, he legit thought they were, like, together?
There is a possibility it was a shtick. It was a little awkward and strange. But, yeah, like, they were there. They were very giggly. And then Wayne Brady was like, well, all right, how long you guys been together? And the guy was like, 6 months. And then she starts laughing and kind of like, ah, and she's like, no, we're friends. She leans into the mic, you know, the way they do. Like, we're friends. And he was like, what? Wayne Brady was like, huh? And the girl was like, well, we're just friends. He wants it to be, you know, but.
Wow.
Oh.
And the guy was like, can we talk about this, like, off the camera?
Not going to lie, it sounds like she's leading him on.
And, well, then she was like, you know, we're really close, but I'm single, everybody. And, you know, even, I'm not a huge, like, Wayne Brady fan outside of his work on the Chappelle Show. But he was kind of like, all right, well, we have this stuff over here.
Let's,
you know, it was kind of a bailout.
If that had been Steve Harvey, it would have been half an hour of him,
oh my God,
composing the take. Endless.
So true.
Just like.
It'd be a long, yeah, well, a long, yeah, stare.
There's so, yeah, much editing that must happen for that show. This poor cameraman, they must not be able to go home and
this
eat dinner.
Certainly felt unedited. It was a lingering, painful moment. And you know what, Steve? I'm going to give you another one. If you did pause it at the right time, acted or not, you could actually see the moment where his heart broke.
So if it was fake, he's a good actor.
Yeah. The way that it seems like it might be fake was actually how much this guy was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know, though I don't know what you do if ever there's a whole studio audience is going like, what?
Right.
What are you like, this is bullshit, and leave? You got Wayne Brady. He makes things wholesome. Anyhow, everybody, check it out and look it up for yourself. This has been a dynamic episode that, once again, every time we have a guest and start getting into their wheelhouse, it feels like we barely scratched the surface. So, Steve, we appreciate you being here.
I hope I provided some insights. I really do.
Needless humility. Definite insights. Lots of fun. Please, open invite. Come back. Even if you don't have dates yet on the movie, the Bust a Movie thing, whether you've got it or not, especially if anything occurs to you where, you know what, they need a comedian's take. We'll see you, of course, at Trivia. We hope to see you all there as well. If you are unable to make it, it's still going on every Wednesday in the Steel Garden. Get there 7:15. The fun starts around 8 o'clock. But Steve's got you at Tuesday at the Cider House.
Hardball Cider. The Cider Rules. House does rule.
The Hardball
when Trivia's there.
Cider spot there on Main Street. On Thursday, he's got you where?
That's Arts Quest.
At Arts
it's called
Quest.
Smarts Quest at Steel Stacks.
Correct. Just a lot of stuff. Can they Google you somewhere and just go to, like, Steve Headquarters?
There is no Steve Headquarters. However, I did get on Instagram.
Okay.
And it's
just as good.
Questionnaire 55. In this way, I can leave Facebook for just my hot takes on various things you may not like. But there, if you want to see pictures of yourselves playing trivia, Instagram is a place to go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Go find yourself with Steve.
It's not about me. It's you.
You can use that for your autobiography title. Find yourself with Steve. And we have been lucky enough to find ourselves with Steve here today. But unfortunately, time has run out and then some. Jill, great episode. Good job. Steve, great episode.
Thanks.
Good job.
When's Dave coming out?
Never.
He's not here?
Never.
Okay.
He's a busy man.
All right.
Unfortunately, Automatone has run out of batteries, but That's him saying that we hope you all have a great week. We will see you next week, where we're going to be doing a micro episode. We're going to be doing the whip around all compact-like, so you can send it around and talk to your friends about a short episode that's easily digested. 30 minutes or less, Domino's style,
yeah.
Whip around. It's going to be compact. It's going to be lightning fast. It's going to be so much comedy in so little space. I'm worried it might rip a hole in reality. So until that time, yeah, we love you.
Bye.
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 You're a racist cyclist with fungus in the foot.
Your marriage is crumbling.